Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Jean Marie. Ron will not be joining us today, and we all send out our support for him and his family during this trying time.
Okay. Today's episode is about something that sounds like science fiction, but it is very real.
Time travel?
And very current. There are blood tests that may help detect cancer earlier. We're calling this episode Promising New Cancer Screening Methods. We'll talk about how blood tests are used in cancer care now, what multi-cancer early detection blood tests like Galleri, G-A-L-L-E-R-I, do, and a new proteomics-based plasma test that aims to find multiple cancers at an early stage. And we'll be honest about what's promised, what's proven, and what still has very much in progress. So in other words, it's not quite there yet.
Right. And before we jump into the cutting-edge stuff, let's start with the basics. When we say blood tests for cancer, to check for cancer, what are we talking about?
Okay. The Cleveland Clinic has a great overview, and it reminds us that blood tests can be helpful in diagnosing, staging, and monitoring cancer, but they're limited as a standalone screening test. Doctors use blood work to look at things like CBC, complete blood count, liver and kidney function, and certain tumor markers, such as PSA, CA125, CEA, and others.
But when it comes to tumor markers, this can be tricky. Many of them are not specific to a specific type of cancer, and levels can be elevated for non-cancer reasons. So as we said, it's not a standalone test. Most aren't accurate enough yet to use as a standalone test, but they can be part of routine screening.
Okay. Well, for an example, PSA is used in shared decisions about prostate cancer screening, but there's debate about overdiagnosis and false positives. Similarly, markers like CA125 or CEA are more often used to monitor known cancers and response to treatment rather than to screen the general public.
Right. So right now, when we talk about proven screening, we're still mostly talking about, scans like mammograms for breast cancer, and that's for men and women, colonoscopies and stool tests to check for potential colorectal cancer, pap smears and HPV testing to check for cervical cancer, and then low-dose CT for certain types of screenings for high-risk smokers and former smokers to look for potential lung cancer. But blood tests are mostly supporting actors right now. They're not the main screening method or screening tool, and that's the status right now, but that might change in the future.
Right. So why is there so much excitement about the new blood-based screening test?
Well, because most cancer deaths come from cancers that don't have routine screening tests like pancreatic, ovarian, some GI cancers, and others. And then also those that, you want to be able to detect the cancers earlier to have the earliest possible treatment and before even like symptoms appear. And you want a safe, reliable way that you can treat them effectively and reduce the deaths from them by finding out as soon as markers show up in the bloodstream and as soon as the tumors start to develop.
Right. And that's where the multi-cancer early detection, or MCED, blood tests come in. They're trying to answer the question, could one blood test look for signals from many different cancers at once?
And let's talk about one example, the Galleri test. What does it do?
Galleri is a blood test developed by GRAIL. Okay, whatever. Yep. It looks at cell-free DNA in the blood, tiny fragments of DNA shed by the cells, and studies methylation patterns, mm-hmm. which are chemical tags on the DNA. The test algorithm analyzes those patterns to decide whether a cancer signal is present, and if so, which tissue or organ the signal is most likely coming from.
So it's not saying, you know, you definitely have cancer and it's this is where it is. It's saying we detected a pattern that looks like it could be a cancer signal, and we think it might be coming from, for example, your lungs or your colon. And then it's up to your healthcare team to follow up with targeted imaging or other tests to see exactly what's going on.
Studies like the Pathfinder and other large validation analysis have shown that tests like this can, number one, detect signals from dozens of different cancer types. Number two, identify
a tissue of origin
mm-hmm. correctly in many positive cases. And number three, maintain relatively high specificity, which means not many false positives in people without cancer. But sensitivity, how many cancers they catch, varies by cancer type and stage.
So let's be really clear here. Gallery sounds very promising, but what is it and what is it not?
Well, back to the Cleveland Clinic experts okay. and independent reviews like the American Academy of Family Physicians, mm-hmm. Gallery is a screening test for people without symptoms, usually adults 50 and over, or with an elevated risk. It's not meant to evaluate known lumps or symptoms.
And when we say elevated risk, we might be talking about, for example,
genetic
or people who are in industries with an elevated risk of
asbestos.
I was thinking like firefighters.
Okay. All right. Gallery is a screening test for people.
It's not a replacement for regular guideline recommended screenings like mammograms, colonoscopies, pap smears, pap tests, or low dose CT.
Sorry, I almost repeated myself.
That's okay.
A positive Gallery result should always be followed by additional testing. A negative result does not guarantee that you're cancer free.
And the American Academy of Family Physicians review notes that and has said that while studies show impressive
specificity, I hate that word,
specificity, and some ability to shift to an earlier stage diagnosis, uh-huh. there's still a lot of questions. For example, how much do these tests reduce overall cancer mortality? So is it beneficial? Are they making a significant difference? Is it worth the expense? And is it worth the time and effort? And where is the balance between finding dangerous cancers and finding very slow-growing cancers that might never actually be a serious issue? So are you causing undue stress on the individual saying that they have a cancer when, you know, it's something that might have been diagnosed by a different modality, or is it something that needs to be treated right away?
Well, there's also the practical side, like you were saying, cost, mm-hmm. insurance coverage, and access. Right now, many of these tests are out of pocket for patients, and coverage is limited. Anything that's new, right?
Well, yeah, and not proven to a certain extent, right?
Right. So they're getting there. Mm-hmm. But while they're promising, they're not yet part of standard screening guidelines for everyone.
But let's bring in the other big study that you were talking about and one that we were reading about from an oncology magazine.
Oh, yeah, that proteomics-based plasma test?
Yes.
Well, that test uses a different approach. Instead of focusing on DNA methylation, the researchers measure thousands of proteins in the blood plasma. That's just a component of the blood. And then use machine learning, or AI, mm-hmm. to select a panel of proteins that best distinguish people with cancer from those without. They even develop sex-specific models, recognizing that protein profiles can differ between men and women.
And according to the study, this protein-based test was designed to detect 18 different early-stage solid tumors, cancer tumors, in the general population. And at a very high specificity, which is a word, apparently the word of the day, meaning that there was a very low incidence of false positive tests. And the test showed that higher sensitivity for early stage cancers and in for using this type of analysis, and it's actually might be more effective than some existing multi-cancer blood tests.
Okay. Well, the authors of that test emphasize a few key points. The test performs best at detecting certain cancers that are often deadly when caught late. Mm-hmm. And we all know that for the most time, you should try to catch it early. Mm-hmm. It could also often correctly predict the tissue of origin, which matters for planning follow-up imaging and biopsies. I mean, if you get a test result saying, yeah, it's in there, you want to know where you're going to look.
Right.
This was still at a research stage evaluation, and it's not broadly available clinically as a test yet.
But in other words, a study suggests that
proteomics,
looking at patterns of many different proteins, could be another powerful way to spot cancer early in the general population. But we're still in the early days and research phase. So we need to support research because it could be, you know, the future of cancer diagnosis.
Right. Well, let's talk about what this might look like in everyday care down the road.
Okay.
How could tests like Galleri or a proteomics-based panel actually fit into somebody's health routine?
Well, some experts imagine a future where for certain age or risk groups, you might continue standard screenings such as mammograms, colonoscopies, PAP, HPV testing, et cetera, and then have periodic multi-cancer blood tests to look for signals from dozens of other cancers without existing screening tests or effective screening tests. And then if the blood test is negative, you just continue with your routine care. And if it's positive, your team would then focus in on targeted imaging and other tests to look for the source of the potential cancer.
The hope is that this could shift some cancers from being found at stage 3 or 4 to being found at stage 1 or 2, when treatments are more effective and survival chance is better. But for that to be more than hope, we need long-term studies, like Jean was saying, showing that these tests actually reduce deaths and do so without causing too much harm from unnecessary procedures.
And we've talked about, you know, the potential benefits, early detection, more cancers being screened more effectively. But what are some of the downsides or risks involved?
Well, there are a few big ones that experts point out.
Okay.
I guess 4, actually.
Okay.
The first one is false positives. A test might say that there's a cancer signal when there isn't, and that would obviously lead to anxiety and extra scans or biopsies.
Sure.
Another one would be false negatives, and a test might miss a cancer, giving someone false reassurances. The third one is overdiagnoses, detecting very slow-growing cancers that may never have caused symptoms in a person's lifetime. Didn't know there were such things. And the last is cost and access. The high price and the limited insurance coverage can make these tests available mainly to people with financial means, which could widen disparities.
Right. And there's also the emotional, as you said, like, you know, the anxiety, the emotional side. For example, a positive test result doesn't tell you here's exactly what you have and how we're going to treat it. Instead, it's really saying we found a signal and we think that it's coming from this area. And then you have to live with that uncertainty and wait for follow-up imaging, biopsies, et cetera. And that can be very stressful.
Well, that's why the Cleveland Clinic and other expert groups emphasize that these tests should be used in the context of careful counseling and shared decision-making, not as casual one-off add-ons.
Okay. And if you're thinking, I've heard about Galleri and other multi-cancer blood tests, and I'm interested in those, what should you ask, or what should they bring to their healthcare providers? What questions should they ask?
Well, some good questions might be, is a multi-cancer early detection blood test appropriate for someone like me, given my age and risk factors? Or how strong is the evidence that this test improves outcomes, not just detects more cancers? Or what does a positive result actually mean? What test would I need next? And who would coordinate them? Another one would be, could this test miss cancers, like totally off the wall, they just don't even catch them, that other screenings would catch? Should I still get my mammogram? Should I still get a colonoscopy? Should I still get a Pap HPV test, et cetera? And lastly, what will it cost me? And is any part of it covered by insurance?
And if your healthcare provider isn't familiar with these specific types of tests yet, you could ask whether they have a colleague, for example, in oncology or preventative medicine, who are following the research, or whether there are clinical trials that you might want to consider instead of paying out of pocket.
One thing that you and I talked about off mic is the word promising.
Right.
And it's in our episode title, but it can mean different things.
Right. I mean, promising can mean, you know, this looks statistically strong in early studies, but are they wide-ranging studies and are they long-term studies? Or experts think this might change how healthcare practitioners, you know, look at cancer, and but it may require follow-up trials to confirm that it's effective. But it doesn't mean that this is definitely going to be the test that everyone needs to get, or that it's something that you need to get right now.
So when you hear about a new test, it can help to ask yourself, is this ready for prime time, or is it still experimental? Am I okay being an early adopter with some uncertainty? Or what am I hoping to gain? And what risks or stress am I willing to accept to pursue that?
And there's not going to be one right answer that's going to fit everyone. Right. Some people find comfort in doing everything possible, including cutting edge tests. Others feel more comfortable sticking to established guidelines where there's proven data. But both approaches are valid for the, you know, for every individual. You have to make your own decisions. But it can be costly, and it can result in, you know, other follow-on tests and, you know, other things in the future.
Well, yeah, that's a given. We hope this episode helped demystify some of the headlines about blood tests that can detect dozens of cancers. There is real progress happening. Tests like Galleri and the new proteomics-based panels are expanding what's possible, but they're still being studied, and they don't replace the screenings that we already know save lives.
Right. And if you're curious about these tests, it's best to have a conversation with your healthcare provider and ask about, you know, what effective screenings can you get at this point in time? And what is their plan, and what is your risk overall, and are multi-cancer blood tests the right fit for you? And it's something to keep an eye on for future, and it's an emerging thing, and more evidence and more research needs to be done.
Well, this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. You should always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions that you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Is it weird that we always say regime, but it's actually regimen?
Yeah.
Okay. Good talk.
Till next week.